Welcome back to the first real episode of Season 3. I hope you took something away from our bonus episodes over the last 2 weeks. You know, mental health advocacy is really something that is very close to my heart. And as small business owners, I do think sometimes we can just push ourselves to the point of having nothing left in the tank. It's important to me to know that these topics are being talked about, and it's my hope that one day we'll be able to have a conversation around mental health as if we were discussing something as seemingly normal as, say, a broken leg. I fear for the moment, though, we still have a way to go. Anyway, we are back for the start of our third season. I'm super excited to tell you that we have got our first sponsor on board, and you will be hearing a little from them over the coming episodes. So it's all systems go here at Not Another Business Show. For now, though, we should probably kick off this week's episode. I've been tossing around doing this episode for a while now, but I've struggled with how it was all going to come together. The link that holds each of my guests together today is the fact that they're all female entrepreneurs. In fact, according to the ABS, or Australian Bureau of Statistics for our overseas listeners, women now account for around 34% of all business operators. This figure's up a whopping 46% over the last 20 years, and the rise was almost double the 27% increase in the number of men who set up their own business over the same period. Australia is now ranked at number 2 in the world for female entrepreneurs, only behind the USA, but given our per capita, Australia is punching well above their weight. The report shows the proportion of women business owners increases with age. The biggest single concentration of female business owners were between the ages of 44 and 55. When I look around my own circle of business associates, I'm happy to say that it's roughly a 50-50 split of men to women I know who own and operate their own businesses. When I look back to when I was a kid, though, the only women I can remember ever owning their own businesses were those who ran the ladies' dress shops. So, to kick off season 3, I wanted to spend an episode focused on women in business. Starting this week, we'll chat to fabulous female entrepreneurs and take a look at some of the challenges that may be unique to women who are looking to get into business for themselves.
Hi, I'm Natasha Vanzetti. I'm a discovery coach and I help striving entrepreneurs discover their business sweet spot and what's standing in their way.
We first met Natasha back in season 1 and then again in season 2. And you may remember that Natasha left a successful corporate career for the call of entrepreneurship. And these days she works to assist people in figuring out where their true business passion lies. As part of my latest conversation with Natasha, she brought me in on the process that she sees most women, including herself, go through when they're first tossing up the idea of going into business for themselves.
I think a lot of it comes down to trusting ourselves enough that we have what it takes to go and do something.
That concept of trusting yourself when you're making your first tentative steps towards business ownership can be a challenging one. In researching the show, it seems as though women have internal struggles between wanting to follow a passion and weighing up the need to care for and be available for their families. Natasha explained to me that she sees these internal struggles come up often when she's working with clients, and indeed has faced her own struggle when she's mapping out a new business idea for her business.
We see a lot of excuses come up, and you know, self-sabotage can come up in so many different ways. So we'll come up with an idea and then we'll completely overthink it And if you give yourself enough time, you can talk yourself out of anything, absolutely anything. So what we tend to do when we're starting a small business is we think, okay, I've got this really great idea. Now, if only I can get all of the answers and really think about this and make it work and make everything line up, then I'll launch it. And what happens is we overthink it so much that we talk ourselves out of it before it's even seen the light of day. And I was doing this again and again and again. And I'd have these amazing ideas and I'd get really excited. And then 3 months later, I still hadn't implemented because I'd talked myself out of it. For whatever reason I came up with, it wasn't going to work or someone wasn't going to like it.
I know we did an episode last season on the imposter syndrome and how this can impact our lives as business owners. But it seemed to me in chatting with numerous female entrepreneurs, there's still a bit of an additional level of anxiety or stress that's placed on us as we navigate the world of business ownership. Now, whether or not this additional layer is self-imposed or is something that is a hangover from society was hotly debated by my female colleagues and seemed in part to depend on which particular industry they were choosing to create a business in. But there was no doubt in chatting with all of these women that there were feelings of constantly fighting self-sabotage. Natasha described how she sees many women looking to try and emulate success that's gone before them instead of bracing their own strengths and building on those to create a successful business.
If you're constantly trying to emulate someone else and that's not in a way that's naturally your style and isn't a strength for you, it's going to be really exhausting. So it's really important that people start to take a step back and work out where their strengths actually lie and to play to those rather than trying to look around and be like everyone else out there.
Quite often when I'm chatting with business owners, I find that the thing that really fires them up is something that they've had to overcome themselves. Chatting with Natasha, this was no exception.
I started my business and I wasn't getting the results that I thought I should be getting. And I had the knowledge and I had the so-called expertise or the smarts about me, but I couldn't work out why things weren't happening as quickly as they should have been. And when I really sat down and was really honest with myself, there was a lot of self-sabotage going on. And that was pretty hard to admit to myself that I had been self-sabotaging my success. But what I also found, it wasn't just me that was doing that. It was all the people that I was speaking to that were starting businesses and creating a new idea. And then clients I was working with, there was always an element of self-sabotage in there. And then when I drilled even deeper into that, I worked out it was a lack of confidence. And it doesn't always articulate and show itself as a lack of confidence. But what I found is when you leave a corporate career, your success is wrapped up in the title that you've held or the success that you had with a different organization. And the ideas you were putting forward weren't always necessarily your own. So if someone didn't like it, it was okay. It was the company's idea and that was fine. And if someone, bucked against that, it wasn't personal. But when you're creating your own ideas and putting something out into the world that means so much to you and someone doesn't like it, that can really sting. So our confidence will take a hit and it will become quite battered and bruised over the years as you start to try and do new things and you're not quite getting the instant success or the instant traction that you need. Yeah, I found that there was a lot of self-confidence issues around starting from scratch again and being okay with the fact that you are a work in progress, because a lot of the clients that I work with and myself included, we've all come from successful corporate careers. We'd done the hard yards, we'd put in the hours, we'd put in the effort, and we were getting really good results. And then to walk away from that and coming to starting your business from scratch and creating something out of nothing, you've got that big idea that you want to step into, but when it doesn't happen overnight, which we kind of expect that it will because we've had success in the past, your confidence is just completely shot. So what I've started to do is figure out what were the steps that I could take to rebuild that for myself, to start to see the success that I wanted to see. And also, how can I do that for others? Because it's just heartbreaking when you see so many brilliant people continue to self-sabotage because of a lack of confidence.
I was keen to follow the thread I'd picked up in so many conversations with female entrepreneurs around this additional layer of turmoil that so many felt when they're thinking of becoming self-employed. I caught up with Kate Christie for her take on whether this additional layer really did exist.
My name's Kate Christie and I'm a time management expert. My business is called Time Stylers and I specialise working with really busy professional women and female business owners.
During my conversation with Kate, she brought up what she dubbed the gender agenda. And I wondered if this would go some way to explaining what so many women I had spoken to were feeling.
The gender agenda is all of the noise that is around both in, I guess, a corporate environment, but also very much in a entrepreneurial environment around how we can ensure that as women we are working to the best of our ability, that our talents are recognised, that we are absolutely soaring in our businesses, that we are working and partnering with the right types of people. Often what you find as you become more senior in, say, in a corporate environment or when you are working on your own, and if you make that decision to have children, the whole work-life integration piece becomes much, much harder to manage. So in a business or a private business sense, the gender agenda is just making sure that you are well aware that you have different hurdles in your life, that there will be times when you have to focus more on your children, there'll be times when you want to focus more on your business, but it's about making sure that you're doing what's right for you, that you don't let common or typical stereotypes about your ability to run a business stop you from chasing your dreams. The gender agenda is huge, but in a nutshell, it's really about being aware of your abilities and your talent and making sure that you live the life that you want to live.
Now, I never did have any two-legged children. I'm a dog person. So during my corporate career, I never had to juggle the whole kids and work thing, but I certainly saw many of my peers walk this tightrope. So it made sense to me that there would be different feelings, objectives, and requirements the women are looking for in a self-employed situation to our male colleagues. I asked Kate what she sees the risks are with the gender agenda as we grow our businesses.
I think the key risks are around making sure that you surround yourself with the right people as your business grows. So about making sure that you have really terrific, talented people around you, be them male or female, but don't discount one or the other. Find the best person for the job. I think the other thing is that as your business grows and your passion for your business grows, it's very important that you stay aware of all your responsibilities, that you don't kind of neglect your family, that you don't neglect your own health and well-being, that you manage your time in a way that is smart so that you can have all the bits that you want and you can do it in a healthy and happy way.
Much like when I was chatting with Natasha, I could hear that Kate had a story as to why she was so passionate about helping female business owners, in particular, become more aware of their time and assist them to become time stylers. But I wanted to know the story of how Kate found this passion to work with other women, and why in particular she wanted to teach them how to better manage their time.
Well, my background is as a lawyer and a senior executive. I worked for many years at the sort of the top levels of a large Australian corporate, and I was very used to, I guess, having what I wanted and getting what I want through sheer hard work and a bit of talent. Then I had 3 children in 3.5 years, which was entirely my own fault, my own responsibility. But what I then found was that this was an element of my life that I had a lot less control over. I was working full time. I felt enormous guilt at the time that I was spending on my career at the expense of my family. And I spent a lot of that time feeling very stressed, rushing from the kids to work, rushing from work to the supermarket, rushing from the supermarket to the kids and so forth. And eventually something had to give, and it did. I chose to leave my corporate job because I felt at the time that I had no choice but to put my kids first. And I was wrong, because what I found in taking that time out and having the opportunity to reframe was that I didn't actually need to have it all. I should just be chasing the bits that I wanted. And then in having those bits, I didn't need to do it all myself. And most importantly, that by smart time management, I could have success in my business and on the home front. So my first business I started was an online outsourcing portal called Babysitters and More, where I connect very busy people to local domestic helpers such as cleaners, housekeepers, nannies and so on. And what I was finding with running that outsourcing portal was that the majority of my clients were females, and the majority of those were either executives or business owners. And the message they were constantly telling me, and the message I was hearing again and again, was that they felt that they couldn't have success at work and at home, that the demands of their business or their passion for their business was getting in the way of them feeling like they were a successful mum. And it just resonated so strongly with my own experience. So that's when I guess, turned the outsourcing portal into a product, and Time Stylers as a brand was born, where I focus very much on coaching and helping women, both within a corporate and a business environment, understand that with some smart time management tweaks, they can actually have success at work and at home. They don't have to make the decision that I made of opting out.
One of the main reasons I love chatting to business owners in a podcasting sense is that I just love the real stories behind people's businesses. There's no doubt a common thread when I was chatting with all of our female entrepreneurs that there were these backstories of juggling kids and family and having this feeling that they needed something more in their own lives, something that was truly theirs. It also fascinated me that a lot of these women went on to create their own businesses to help other women walking the same tightrope, offering support and solutions that in turn would make the next woman's life just that little bit easier. Kate shared with me that she still feels like women in particular suffer from the pressure of having it all.
I think that definitely women in a professional environment, be it business or entrepreneurship or in working in a corporate environment, do feel the pressure to have it all. But more so, I think that they feel the pressure to do it all. So be them mums or not, be them homemakers or not, there's an implicit pressure that's put upon women that they need to do it all. So you can be the successful business owner, but you really should be making dinner every night for your family. You can be running a very, very successful business, but really the home is your responsibility and you should be cleaning it. Now, and I don't say this to sort of offer up a stereotype, this is evidence that I hear time and again from my clients where, be it their upbringing or the pressure they put on themselves, the judgment of other women, but for whatever reason, a large number of my clients feel an enormous amount of pressure to be doing it all, that to be seen to be a good mum whilst also working a phenomenal number of hours in growing your business, you need to be, you know, making the cupcakes and taking them to the school stall. You need to be there for drop-off and pick-up. You need to be cleaning your home. You need to be making sure that your children are enrolled in every single activity that they can ever undertake, you know. And these pressures that are put on upon us by others, by ourselves, by the media, it really does lead to an enormous amount of stress and guilt as well about the choices that we're making. You know, every time we choose to do something for our career or our business over spending some time with our children, there is a guilt factor associated with that. And we need to overcome that. You know, we don't need to have it all. We just need to chase after the bits that are most important to us. And in doing that, we don't need to do it all ourselves. You know, we can ask for help. We can pay for help. We can expect help. But we need to kind of take a little bit of the pressure off ourselves.
This pressure to have it all made me think of another fabulous female I had interviewed for the show previously. Remember Bernadette Blake?
My name's Bernadette Blake from Be Empowered Now, and I specialise in empowering women to create a life they love.
We heard from Bernadette only last week in the bonus episode from season one around mental health awareness. Working with females every day to help them then create a life they love I know Bernadette is only too familiar with some of these external pressures and forces females in the self-employed arena tend to put on themselves.
A lot of women in particular, they feel really guilty. So they feel guilty when they're at work and feel like they should be spending more time with their kids. And then when they're with their children, they feel like they should be working. They should be replying to emails or working on their upcoming project. And that sort of feels like a no-win situation. So when your mind is always somewhere else and you're not in the present, it's hard for you to enjoy your life and feel happy. So what I do with those people is teach them techniques about being in the present, because when you're not in the present and your mind's elsewhere, that takes a lot of your energy and a lot of your focus. So if you can learn to be in the present and focus on what you're doing right here, right now, and actually enjoy that, that's where you're going to do your best work and be your most productive and also really enjoy the time that you've got with your family. Because if you're not in the present, you're either having regrets or worries about the past, or you're worrying about the future. And both of those things create stress. So by getting women to actually look at, well, what are their priorities, and to map out, you know, how can you best spend your time so that you have that balance between the time with your work and the time with your family, and then to be able to feel happy with that decision, to know that, you know, there's no right or wrong here. It's about what works for you and what makes you feel good in your life. So if you can be present, focus on what you're doing and enjoy that, then you'll be so much happier and a lot of that guilt will go.
The thing about what Bernadette teaches her clients is that the feeling of walking the tightrope or needing to have it all is very different from person to person. So Bernadette encourages women to work out what their priorities are in the first instance.
Again, it's about deciding what your priorities are and then actually scheduling time for that. And you need to take that little bit of time to sit down and work out, well, how much time a day is it reasonable for me to allocate to spending with my family, to doing housework, to doing exercise, to doing self-care, to have time out and ring a friend or to ring your parents or visit some relatives. And how much time is it reasonable for you to spend each week doing work? You know, what's realistic? And don't try to follow what someone else is doing. And also, I find a lot of the time we look at other people and we judge them from the outside without really knowing what's going on in their insides. And we compare ourselves to them and we think, now, that woman, she's got it all. She's got the corporate career. She's got a kid. She's got a partner. She's got a beautiful house. You know, she's got this. She's got that. But what we really don't realize what's actually happening in that person's life, how is she having all of that? How is she managing to do all of that? And often the answer is, well, if she's working 80 hours a week, something else is suffering. We may not see it from the outside, but you know, maybe she's only spent 5 minutes to talk one-on-one with her partner in the last week. Maybe her relationship's going down the drain. Maybe she's got no time to see her family. Maybe she's not able to help their children with their homework. It's important, don't judge other people from the outside when you don't really know what's happening in all of their lives. So don't sort of compare yourself to others. So the work-life balance that works for someone else as well, that may not work for you.
Why is it as women we put so many unrealistic pressures on ourselves? With the number of women moving into self-employment increasing year on year, I know these questions will begin to come into sharper focus. I think, though, the biggest take-home for me was the process is an individual one and that you'll have various feelings about your decisions come up to challenge you. It's the tools and the resources you bring into play during these times that will allow the world of female entrepreneurship to continue to flourish as it has been doing. Well, a nice succinct show to wrap up episode 3 of season 3. I hope you enjoyed hearing from some of our fabulous female entrepreneurs. A big thanks to our discovery coach, Natasha Vanzetti, Kate Christie from Time Stylers, and Bernadette Blake from Be Empowered Now. If you'd like to know any more about these fabulous women, check out the show notes for links to their website. As always, though, the biggest thanks goes to you for listening in. We've had some fab reviews for the shows come in over the last season. And if you haven't left a review yet, I sure would appreciate it if you'd make some time to do just that. It keeps us in the charts and helps us to help more business owners. Until next week, I'm leaving you with a quote from Marissa Mayer, CEO of Yahoo. If you push through that feeling of being scared, that feeling of taking a risk, really amazing things can happen.
Not Another Business Show is edited and produced by Corporate Podcast Productions. Let your story be heard.